greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you, brothers, for sharing this morning. I can say I was richly blessed through the study of Romans with the brothers. Thank you, each and every one of you. It was a thorough teaching from about 20, 28 individuals, each part. And it was interesting to hear each and every one's their own thoughts on that. So it was a blessing. So thank you for that. So I greet you in Jesus' name here this morning. You know, what a blessing it is to be gathered here this morning in this way. As my topic is love amongst the brotherhood, and I can feel that here, that we love one another. We have our interests is toward one another. So that's a blessing to come here and feel the love each morning and see the brothers. So praise the Lord. So just a few points I want to touch on here. I don't have much. I want to try to be done here before 11. Give Steve some time on his message there. So I thought I'd like to pray here before I begin. So why don't we all rise and I have a word of prayer and I'll begin. So eternal Father, as we bow here before you, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your presence among us here this morning. Lord, we're here gathered more than just amongst the brethren. We're here with you today, and we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that came. As Jesus says, I must go so the Comforter can come. And we thank you for meeting with us, Lord, and dealing with us. And we know, Lord, we still have needs in our lives, and we ask you this morning, Lord, as we go forth, that you would continue on doing that that work in us, Lord, that you could perfect us in a way, Lord, that's great and pleasing to you. So we just want to ask you, Lord, to have your way today as I preached, and Brother Steve, that you would be exalted. That's mainly what it's about, Lord. You be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. So I just want to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, love amongst the brotherhood. And first point I want to share on here, before I go on, the unity among the brotherhood, which I think is very important, unity. As we had those vision meetings here this past weekend, I think it was a blessing just to know or just to have brothers share and just to remember and remind us where we're at, where we want to go, and as a body here. I think it's because without a close vision or direction on things we want to go as a church, I think it definitely can bring confusion. What I meant to say is we need to be close on our modesty or directional things, or it'll hinder our true love for one another. And we experienced that in the past, as where we were at two different places on directional things, where some were uncomfortable with others, and we know what that brought. So for me, it's a blessing to come here and just talk about these things. So this way we can walk together, and we can be comfortable to have our children there and their children here, because it was not always that way. So I think it's a blessing. Or just to share a little something here before I begin. On no accusation or nothing, we have as we're talking about a brotherhood, right? We're a brotherhood. We're not talking about the churches over here, churches over there. We're talking about unified as a brotherhood as we walk with Christ. So we have six local churches. I just count six. There might be more. Within 15 to 20 miles from here. And for most part, I think I can say this, they don't want what we have, right? I mean, for most part. Of course, we have some sister churches. I'm not talking about them. And we can say as well, that's okay. We're not condemning them. But at the same time, we say, well, yeah, we really don't want what they have either. But not that we despise them. I love them. But we still can relate together and love one another. But this is what we're talking on, coming together as a brotherhood. Love one another in here and submit to one another here as we walk together with Christ. Yeah, I want to share that. It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate them. I do appreciate a lot of them, many of them. So without unity, we will struggle to love as God commands us to. And it's not saying that we all look alike, dress alike, drive the same vehicle, cut our hair all the same. That's not what we're talking about. Unified in Christ Jesus. And like I said, we need to be somewhat close, or it can bring a lot of confusion. So just I want to read here in Acts 1 and 2, a few things here. In 1 and 2, Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. Just as we see here, unity here. That says, when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house as they were sitting. This is Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own tongues. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And we go to 43 to 47. Life among the believers. It says, and fear came up on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. This is the unity I'm talking about. Unity in the Spirit. Unity in Christ Jesus. And it says, and they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to every man, and every man had the need. You know, that they said that they just didn't give the extras what they had. They didn't give just what the extra money they had or extra possessions. It says they sold their possessions and give it to men that had need. Now, I see that as a bond of love, bond of unity, a bond of perfection. As I read through that and as I studied through this, it challenged me. Sometimes we see a person in need and we want to see what we have left over. And this is what I've seen here as the life among the early believers. Says that they sold their possessions and goods and departed them to men that had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people daily, such as should be saved. And as I see that, I think that's a challenge. It could be a challenge in our hearts as we walk together in brotherhood in that way. It's not about me. May it not be about me. It's about others. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom being furthered. That's what the unity I'm talking about. And it's giving. It is a giving to one another. And we know before there's a perfect unity in the brotherhood, there need to be a perfect unity in Christ. There need to be a spiritual understanding as we walk together on where we're at with Christ. In Romans, I'll read a few more here on Romans 15. 1 through 6, there is Paul shared some thoughts there as well, which is a blessing. Unity in Christ is the heading. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please everyone. Let every one of us please his neighbor for the good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproach of men, reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant to you like mind one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may walk with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was encouraging the Corinthians here, I believe he would share the same message to us if he was in here today. That the God of patience and the consolation grant to you the like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that he may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. We would all agree, you know, there's strength walking together as a body of believers. When storms blow, we have one another to encourage or lean on the body of Christ. There is strength in that, having one another. Because over the years, it strengthened me as I'm struggling with an issue, go to a brother and say, hey, how do you see this? Or what do you think about that? I know we have the Word of God. We can go to the Word of God. But still, something about like-minded brothers to be surrounded around is their strength. There's strength in that. Now, just to be clear, there can be unity in a group of people without them walking in Christ, and that's not what I'm talking about. Unity in Christ in the brotherhood. As I was pondering this message, I have this rope upstairs here in my barn over the years, talking about walking together. As we see this in here, I started counting these ropes in here, these strings. I didn't get them all counted, but there's somewhere around 200 of them. But as you look at this in here, as this is woven together, nice and tight, there is a lot of strength here, the unity. I don't know. I mean, this could pull a lot. Tons. I know it could pull tons. This is, I want to represent this here as a body of Christ that loves Jesus and loves one another. This in here. That the body of Christ that loves Jesus and they love one another. And here we see that as it comes out here. Yeah, these are little churches here that love Jesus. They love Jesus. They obey his word for the most part. They go to church and go home at week. During the week, and then they meet on a Sunday again. They hear a message, but without the love of the brethren. As you see this right here. Then you got these right here, individuals. Yeah, they claim Christ, but they cannot walk with anyone. They cannot just submit to one another. This here has a great tendency. I mean, I was going to pull this, but even this one here doesn't even tear with my strength. But this here is acceptable to be tore off pretty easy. Alone. Don't walk alone. These right here, I mean, it sort of looks a mess too, doesn't it? Look at this in here. All these individuals, all their own ideas, own agendas. And it's a confusion. We've been there. I didn't like it. Way too much confusion. Now I think of Judas in this occasion here as I was preparing for this. I see the most of the disciples down here. They were walking together with Jesus and they were wanting to do what Jesus. And here was Judas down here all alone, trying to think how he can get rich. Trying to figure out what he could gain for himself, and we know what happened. He was destroyed. He was not. I think of Judas in this occasion. There was not a unified spirit with him. With most of the apostles, they were thinking how they could serve Jesus, how the ways they could please him in a deeper way, and we see that he was destroyed. At the end there, so 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to turn here and read a few passages here. And as I shared about, you know, I'm talking about being unified is not that we look like we come out all the same copy machine. I'm not talking about that. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 describes it pretty well. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried about into these dumb idols, and that were as you were led. Wherefore I give you into understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but the Holy Ghost. Now there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit." There are differences in people, but we should have the same Spirit of God. "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh it all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings to the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, another divers kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. For as a body is one, hath many members, and all have the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, whether it be have been all made to drink into the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So many members, but yet one Spirit as we walk together. I'll read a few more here yet. Let's go in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? And now hath God sent the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all gone, all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So as we see, as all these members right here, many of them, I think there's like 170, as many members woven up in here to make one body. And there's strength in that when we walk together in unity. In verse 25, it says, "And there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or with one member honored, all the members rejoice with it." So high calling. One member suffers. There should be a suffering in our heart. Well, there should be a hurting in us as well when we see a brother that's being challenged. Maybe even if it's financial things or if he's struggling spiritually, there should be a longing in our heart to help that brother. That's unified. Or a lot of these right here, they're out for themselves. This right here, we're woven together. We're woven together, and it should affect our body. If one of these here, we know that one of these little strands right here gets infected, and it's going to be, it can spread. It'll destroy this whole body. Like down here, they're separating, and they could be affected. And this in here just takes care of this string here. This in here just takes care of himself. And yeah, it can be a challenge and a mess, but that's not the heart of God. The heart of God that we would have care for one another. Remember, if one rejoices, there should not be a jealous spirit that comes that brother, he's prospering in whatever it may be, in his spiritual life or is in his business or whatever. There should be rejoicing with him. Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, brothers." The last verse there in 12. "And yet I show you a more excellent way." To me, that's a beautiful picture of the body of believers walking together in unity in Christ Jesus. Not walking together just in this church life. Walking together, and you're not talking about unity in that, where we, you know, we all look alike. Not that, but in the Spirit of God. So let's desire, as it says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will and yet show you to you a more excellent way. So that's a little bit on unity there. And the next point here I'd like to share a little bit on is love amongst the brotherhood. Now, if we struggle with this point that I just shared on unity, now what we talked about, we'll probably struggle to have that perfect love with one another here. So I'm just going to read here a little bit of Corinthians 13, since we're right there. The way of love. Let's just read that. I'm going to read probably the whole chapter here. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. As we heard brothers share, let's continue to love, because love will never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I know even as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. As you look up the charity there in verse 4, there the strong concordance denotes a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. From verse 4, that charity suffereth long. It's unconditional. Unconditional love. Defined as affection, goodwill, and love. You try to tell God someday, my love towards him wasn't where it should have been because he wronged me. Maybe it's a business deal. Maybe it was just a disagreement on maybe a doctrinal thing. And your love in your heart, it's not quite right. We love unconditionally. Don't matter if we're treated, if we're hated, and we're persecuted for Jesus' sake. We love that person, as we've seen many of those go to the cross, go to the stake. Say, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. Well, that was Jesus when he went to that. But many of those, our forefathers, did that. They was praying for their persecutors. So I believe on that day, if I was wronged or falsely accused, it won't hold any water if I have a little disdain thought or love, not the right love toward the brother. There is no room for that. It won't carry any water when you face God face to face. And I share this many times. It's my model when I talk about love. Some of you in here, they're your uncles. Here is a Mervin Graber. I'm gonna quote it again. He's from Kansas, and I think Lynn touched a little bit on that when he shared out of his passage in Romans there on love. Your love for God, listen to this, I shared it many times. Your love for God goes no deeper than the brother that you love the least. And you think about that. Well, that stuck to me for, because I believe when I heard him preach that message, there was probably some things in my life that just wasn't quite right. It was just what do you want to say, aggravating, or it was just rubbing me wrong. Some brother was rubbing me a little wrong way. And I heard that message. My mind went immediately. My love toward that brother was not right. And I immediately thought, well, that is my love toward God. And I can say, I repented of that and went to the brother and talked to the brother, and we dealt it out. We dealt with it. It helped me. So it just so when some things come up, my mind goes back to that. If you struggle with a brother, say if I struggle with James here on something he did to me, and my love is just to him is not right, and that affects your love, affects my love toward God, and we don't want that. We want to be, we say that we love God, whom we can't see, but if we can't love the brother in whom we deal, Jesus, John says, that's not right. It's not true. Anything less than love is hate. Oh yeah, I love that brother, but it's not true love. He's just different. He thinks differently, and he talks differently. I love him, but even his doctrine, some of his doctrine is just not right, and he just sort of bothers me. It's not the love. And if there's a jealous spirit toward a brother, or envy, or covetous, or etc., whatever it may be. It's going to hinder your, if we have that toward a brother, it's going to, that's where our love is with God. There's a wall. It doesn't go to that perfect love. John, I'm going to turn to John here and read some verses. I see that I'm not going to get through this here. one John 2. We go there on verses through 7 through 14. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true unto him and you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is of light, but hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion or stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he groweth, because the darkness hath blinded his light. And if you look up the definition of hate, it's just a lack of love. It can be considered hate. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake. And 1 John 3, 11 through 19. From the beginning that you heard from the... For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because we lay down our lives. Let me read that again. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And verse 17 is a key verse to this love here. And there is a giving and loving. He says, but whosoever hateth this world's goods and seeth his brother who that hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother that has a need, and he shut up his bowels or shut up his heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And look at that verse. It talks about Father. We see that he has a need, that they have a need of money or food. We pray that you would give them some food, and we walk on. That is not love. Love giveth. Love gives, which I'll get to that in a little bit here. I want to share a few thoughts on that. 1 John 4, 7 here. I'm not going to be able to read all these verses. Let's just go to start on verse 8. I read a few. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So how did God, what was God's love toward us? And he said the same way, we need to love one another. So we see here there's no room for our hearts for disdain feelings toward a brother. As I shared before, even if it's a business deal going bad or someone has shared hard truth with you, as Amy Carmichael quoted there, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Think about that. You can love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So we see true love is giving. And I'd like to read just a few quotes from here out of this Power of True Success, which I read through occasionally here. And so it's a blessing on some of this chapter here on the love, on love here. How genuine love is demonstrated by giving. It says, each time Peter stated that he loved Jesus, Jesus told him to give. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Our motivation for giving is that we are actually giving to Jesus. Insomuch as we have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. As Jesus says there in Matthew 25, verse 40. Love is not complete without giving. As it says, God so loved the world that he gave. If we see a person in obvious need, and we say to him, be clothed or be warm, but do not give his need, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Love will manifest itself in generous giving through good works. If these are done with pure motives and credit to give to others, God will be glorified. Therefore, we are commanded, let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The first century believers had such powerful love that they claimed nothing as their own, as we read there in Acts. They claimed nothing as their own, but they sold their goods and gave the money to care for the needs of other believers, as I just read there in Acts. Genuine love is most important character quality. Every other quality must be motivated by it, or the quality will be empty and of no benefit. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, it's kindness, compassion, and generosity. And though I give my body to be burned, it's their sincerity, their boldness, and determination. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Ponder that. So there's a giving and a love. It's more than just a smile and say, I love you, brother, which is part of it. But true love, there's a giving. Agape love is greater than faith and hope. It is the greatest commandment given by God. It is expected by a local church and a badge of a true disciples, as John 13. It's one of the primary requests of Jesus in his final prayer for his disciples. Love suffereth long. It does not lose heart. It preserves with patience and bravery. Endures misfortunes and troubles. It bears offenses and injuries with joy, with confidence. And a good reward will come with God's hand. There's more here I wanted to read. But this is a book that we have years ago. We've gone through some Bible studies with some youth on it. It's a very nice book there to read. But I had some more to read, so I see I'm going to have to continue on here. And I just want to share a few verses there in Romans. I know the brothers just went through that. Romans 14, there on starting in verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the true love of God. It's not about things of this life. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and proven to men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another. For meat destroyed not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, But it is evil for the man who eateth, it will offense. And as we go on and read there, it says, and if he doubteth a damn to eat because he had not a faith, for whatever is not a faith is of sin. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the verse I wanted to close out on there. 19, yeah, I read that. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So we see here, it's not about what we accomplish or how much we know or how much we have, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost as we walk together in the brotherhood. As it prompted the whole brotherhood, the disciples in early church in Acts, to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior to the lost and dying around them. That's what that did. The love of God, the love of the brethren, love for one another, that true unity. It prompted the disciples there, except for Judas there in the early church, but the disciples in the New Testament here, it prompted them to go out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, even into their death. It was a love of Jesus Christ in them and toward the brethren. Because they had a fear of God in their lives. And it brings it here. I just want to quickly share on this last point here. What that brought in their lives, when there was unity with the brotherhood, love with the brotherhood, it prompted them a burden to go out and share the gospel to the lost and dying. And that is where it needs to bring us as well. And it does. I'm blessed when we have these opportunities to go out and as brothers and go preach and pass out tracts. And that is where God desires to have each and every one of us as a church, to have a burden for the loss. And as I shared, we know that we need to work to provide, but how much do we really need? How big should we grow our businesses? I'm just asking because it can affect our relationship, our love toward God and toward one another. If we get too busy, caught up in just material things, it becomes stale. So just to encourage us to keep our love for Jesus Christ fresh in our heart, that keep our love of Jesus Christ alive in our lives, and the love of the brethren, it will be a lot easier to love one another. So just to close out this message here on this note, that the love and adoration toward God are profound spiritual expressions or affection and deep reverence. And we see that as a true key of success to point one and two, that should promote our love and adoration towards God. As John shared there in 1:2 here, some of these closing verses here, John. Then I want to share a little bit of Paul's and David's life. It says here, love not the world, nor the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all these that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I didn't write down my reference for that one. Just a few here in closing, and David shared there in Psalms. You've seen David's adoration toward God, and that is my heart here for each and every one of us. I believe this is where it begins. Or if we continue on, we need to have this adoration toward God as David did. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." He said, "We've seen David's heart here, that the Lord is his shepherd. I don't desire any other thing. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before my presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David again, the Lord in Psalms 127, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? Look at that adoration coming from David's heart. His love toward God. And if our love toward God, that I believe is the key to the success of the 2 points that I preached on for brotherhood unity and brotherhood love. It needs to start there. Our adoration toward God will promote that. And I just see here David laying in the hillside, attending sheep, just worshiping God. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come up on me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though a host should encamp about me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord to inquire in his temple. Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry, thirsty land where no water is. To see the power and the glory, so have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because a loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Okay, well, I'm just going to read one more verse, and I'm going to close here. Psalms 103, a few more. Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all things in iniquity, who healeth all the diseases, who redeemeth thy life from the destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy the mouth with things so that youth renewed like an eagle. The Lord executeth righteous and judgment for all those oppressed. He made known the ways unto Moses, yet his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plentiful to mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. As for the man, his days are grass, the flower of the field, so he flourish. So I'm just going to stop there. There's a few more verses I wanted to read on here, but my time is up. But my encouragement is that we would wrap ourselves around Jesus Christ and the church. This is end down here, because there's strength here when we're in a brotherhood that loves one another and loves Jesus. Verses down here. These right here are fragile. These can be easy, severe. Last night when I went home and I took a knife, I had a real sharp knife. Me and my wife grabbed this thing and I started cutting. It took me a long time to cut through this. There was all these ropes. It was woven. It's woven tight, and that knife just had a hard time getting in between these little crevices. It took us several minutes with a sharp knife. These right here, pretty easy, just to snatch off. So let's stay united in Jesus Christ as we walk together.